And we are back with episode 787 of The Critical Myth. I'm John, your host, and tonight we have...
This is Gary from Jacksonville, and I appreciate everyone hanging in with us during our little mini break.
That's right, that's right. We took a little bit of a break, and, well, we are going to be, getting into a couple weeks' worth of episodic discussion. But before we do any of that, we are also going to get into what we've been up to in the last couple years, and, or years, weeks. Wow, it feels like that long.
Well, it was a cold winter.
Yes, that's right. And, I'm also dealing with technical issues right now as we are getting this up and running, so excuse me if there are a little bit of oddities along the way. But let's see. We are going to be getting into the last couple of weeks' worth of news and events in our own little spheres here, and then, like I said, we'll get into a couple weeks' worth of episodic discussion. But, so before we do any of that, Gary, do you have any kind of disclaimer that you want to give?
Yes. I disclaim it all. Or more importantly, anything that we talk about, including spoilers, lives, deaths, marriages, new plot developments, as we go into our discussions, we talk about them all. So if you don't wish to be spoiled, perhaps pause us for a little while and catch up. Otherwise, we're going to dive right in, and we hope you do too.
That's right. And so first thing that we're going to do is just catch everybody up on what's been going on and what we've been doing. So, Gary, why don't you go ahead and get us started while I continue to try and work out these little things in the background.
Oh, sure. No problem. I can go on a little bit. I am an active Boy Scout leader, and I recently went with my son, and we both completed our, I guess, training, if you will, for the Order of the Arrow Brotherhood. That's sort of an honor society for Boy Scouts. You have to be chosen to join, so it's sort of nice that my fellow Scouters think well enough of me that they want me to continue to go through the ranks of Scouting. So it's a lot of fun. It's all boys as well as adults who really, really want to be there and are active in Scouting. So it's a lot of like-minded people. So it's a nice sort of peer group to be in. And it's a very comfortable, relaxing place as well. They basically take over a whole Boy Scout camp for the whole weekend. And it's a lot of fun. We do maintenance and various other things around the camp to get it ready for all the summer action that's going to happen. And it's sort of service hours as well as camaraderie. So it's a lot of fun for that. I'm not sure if we talked about it last time, but I did go see Lego Batman. And I was a little underwhelmed with it. The Lego movie had struck me with, is so enjoyable and really seemed to hit home in a lot of different ways that I was honestly feeling this Lego Batman movie was a sequel to it in a lot of ways. And while, there are reminiscences, it really sort of struck out on its own, and maybe struck out's the right way to put it, because it was lacking something. It was sort of completely over the top without the emotional storyline that the first movie had. So as a result, you really didn't, it was hard to engage with the movie a little bit. So it was still funny, a lot of sort of slapstick jokes and, funny Lego, Lego-like scenes, but it just, like I said, I think it didn't have, the movie really didn't have that much of heart the way that the first one did, so it fell a little short for me. And then, go ahead, John.
No, I was going to say, we went into that last time in a little more depth, but just for those who may have missed it, I haven't seen it yet. I mean, I took Gary's advice and pretty much...
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I'm also reading a book about halfway through it. It talks about the various space probes and robots and rovers that we've been sending into space, and it's just not a sort of a technical thing. It does list different things like the rover, the Pathfinder rover, and Sojourner, and things like that. But it also goes into the sort of the backstory of who the people were that were the driving forces to get all these things made and make it happen, as well as some of the truly amazing results that they've discovered as a result of some of these things, different technologies. So it's nice. It's been putting a lot more of a human face onto what would other be just considered machinery. And you realize that, as much as we could joke about robot overlords, it takes people's dedication and in some cases a good chunk of their lives to make any of these projects come to fruition and be launched and send back amazing data, be it pictures of Pluto, analysis of the Martian sands, or even detailed pictures of the moon. These are people's lives that make these things happen, and it's a quite enjoyable book. So
That sounds actually pretty interesting. I remember pretty much being a geek for that stuff when I was younger as well, and I would have loved to have read that book at any time throughout my my life. So yeah, I think that we what's the name of it? Do you happen to have?
I'll get it in just a second. Actually, I had the benefit of meeting the author a few years ago, and she's a very nice person. Her name is Nancy Atkinson, and she's a writer for the Universe Today podcast, and she's also you know, been writing for NASA and other space agencies or about them for, geez, over 10, 15 years now. The book is The Incredible Stories from Space. I'm sure it's available on Amazon where I purchased it. And as I said, she's been writing for over a decade on these exact topics. And she's had a chance during the writing of this book where she actually talks to a lot of firsthand people. So it's not just her, you know, skimming press conferences. You know, when she's talking about the scientist who spent over 20 years to get the mission to Pluto, you know, she actually talked to him. So I mean, it's nice to have that sort of firsthand descriptions and you know, interactions to really get a sense of what it takes to make these things happen. So yeah, it's called "Incredible Stories from Space" by Nancy Atkinson, and it's really good. I know it's I believe it's also available as ebook, John, as I know you're a fond reader. And but yeah, so yeah, so I mean, they cover, like I said, everything from, you know, the mission to Pluto to the Curiosity rover, the Hubble telescope, the Cassini missions, the Mars orbiter, as well as the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. So if you, you know, like that type of stuff, which I do as well, it's quite an enjoyable read so far. I'm about halfway through it, and I'm almost trying to not rush it because I'm enjoying it so much that I'm just, you know, I'm trying to savor it like a chapter a day or so. So.
Yeah, I imagine so, you know, especially something good like that. Yeah. So, let's see. Anything else from the last couple of weeks that's worthy of note?
Just on a comic book front, as a big Legion of Superheroes fan, we continue to get various teases through the DC Rebirth titles. The last one was on Justice League, where Cyborg meets what most fans believe is a 10 or 11 year old Brainiac 5. So we continue to get these little taunts and teases all over the DC universe coming back to us that the Legion is coming. So can we have it already? But we've been about, geez, I think it's almost 4 years without an actual title of our own, so to speak. So I'm looking forward to the final reveal back, but I know something's in the works because it's just too much from too many different places to think that it's not going to happen. So, And I would like to point out that, you know, the Legion of Superheroes was the second oldest comic book superhero team ever. They predated the Justice League, the Fantastic Four, the you know, just about the Avengers. The only one they didn't want, the Justice Society beat them by about I think 15 years. So. they've had four of their own titles. They've piggybacked on two or three other ones over the years. So, they have quite a rich history, which some people, feel is overwhelming to, new readers at times. But, I think that just means there's a wealth of, story ideas to draw from. So.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It's
fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed, as you say. Let's see. I mean, other than the fact that I've been trying to keep up with all of this content the last couple of weeks, and
you're not kidding,
and a lot of good content too, and actually, in some cases, surprisingly, not so good. But
well, I hear you. But I was saying as we were coming to air, it's like, geez, I need about a good 2 day illness just to catch up with everything.
Well, speaking of a 2 day illness,
oh, geez.
That didn't hurt. Yeah, last week. Wow, there is something going around, and in fact, I've heard it from people all over the place in this country, at least, and in some places, from traveling and stuff. There is some kind of like virus going around. I don't know if it's like a mini flu or something, but wow, it just knocked me just for a loop. And
now you're not saying like apocalypse flu.
No. Not okay, apocalypse flu. No. No, it was just, yeah, it, I haven't had a fever that bad in a while. And, I kind of think it's semi-ridiculous, but it's still funny, that I didn't realize just how feverish I was going to get, and I was playing Final Fantasy 15 because, of course, I've been playing that like crazy. And I started having these fever dreams that I was still playing the game throughout the night, and I knew that was a bad sign.
Jump,
you're not
jump.
Playing anymore, and you're still playing. So that really knocked me for a loop. It did give me some chances to catch up on some of these shows, which is good, I guess. But Ben, I would have rather not caught up.
I was going to say, I'm almost jealous.
Yeah, almost. You really, you know, it's still, my cough is thankfully just about done. But, yeah, it definitely has spread. It spread throughout the family and so on. So, yeah, it's nasty out there. So certainly, if you haven't gotten it yet, you probably will get it eventually. It seems to spread like without any real resistance. It's just going like mad. And the past 2 weeks has also been for my son. I think that you were mentioning stuff that you were doing. My son's team in basketball is actually going to the championship game tomorrow as we record. And the virus is going through the team, and it's amazing to think that they still managed to get this far, considering the fact that half of them are, you know, like hacking up a lung on the sidelines as they're trying to play the game. So, yeah, it's definitely been an interesting week with that. But let's see. Beyond that, some of the other things I mentioned, Final Fantasy 15, I have now successfully leveled up to, I think I'm around 42. So I'm now to the point where combat is actually getting a little easier, finally. I'm not saying I'm getting any better at it, I'm simply overpowered to the point where it doesn't matter anymore. Which I suppose is good enough. But I'm still enjoying it quite a bit. I've gotten further along in the story. There are some things that I can do now, which is pretty cool in terms of the various summons and things like that. So it's definitely getting a lot better, I would say, in terms of my enjoyment of it. I was already enjoying it, but now I am
not getting slaughtered every 20
minutes.
Yeah,
I'm not getting frustrated because I feel like I don't understand how the game works.
Are the mechanics new?
I'm sorry?
Like, is the gameplay different?
Now that I'm further in, or...
No. I meant, like, you know, like, how you, like, you know, use the characters and things like that. Is a fundamental change from previous versions?
Every game in Final Fantasy essentially does reinvent the combat and reinvent some of the other mechanics, as you were saying. It's definitely one of those situations that is difficult because of the development cycle. I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. This game started as a spin-off for Final Fantasy 13 over 10 years ago. And it went through such a long development cycle as a spin-off of Final Fantasy 13 that they eventually just rebranded it Final Fantasy 15 and made it a completely new game. So it's been through a lot of different iterations, which hasn't helped. It's definitely different than the other games, but at the same time, there are some things that you can tell they didn't necessarily think all the way through. Mm-hmm. we'll have to see if that continues to be the case. But I will say, though, that I do enjoy it. It is getting a little bit of additional content as time goes by, and that's definitely helpful. However, I doubt I'm going to be able to finish it out before Mass Effect Andromeda comes out, which will become the game I'm playing as soon as that game comes out. So.
Well, you know, you can install both. You can take a break from one and go to the other.
Yeah, sometimes. You know, they're both huge games, so, I mean, it's going to take me forever.
You know, you can get up off the couch, shower once in a while. Things like that. anything on the book front? You're usually a good bellwether for me for new books.
Oh, yeah. I actually have been reading a few different things, but the one that I think is of most interest to... the most interest to our listeners would be, I'm about 100 pages into a book called The Flash, The Haunting of Barry Allen.
Hmm.
And it is, it's the first of part of a two-book little series, I guess you could call it.
And when you say book, you don't mean like a graphic novel.
Regular novel. But it really feels like the writers understand how the show works. and they've got the voices of the characters down pretty well. And I've been enjoying it. It's unfortunately taking me a bit longer than I would like to get through more of the book, but it is definitely one that I am enjoying.
Oh, okay. And is it supposed to be linked to the TV show, or is this more of a comic book type of thing?
No, to the TV show. It's definitely in the DCW universe.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure when it's set. It could be early third season, late second season. It's kind of indistinct. I think they keep it vague for reasons. But it also crosses over, because it's very obvious on the cover, that it is going to cross over with Arrow.
Oh.
And so, yeah, I definitely think that will enhance the enjoyment for a lot of people out there who may be thinking, just the Flash. But no, this actually feels like it is a DCW crossover event type thing, because the next book, this is the first book, the second book is actually an Arrow branded book. So they're doing this for cross promotion. I'm sure they're trying to get a novel line going for the DCW. And quite frankly, I like this one better than I did Arrow Vengeance, which came out about a year ago, which was a retread of a lot of what happened in the second season of Arrow, which is my favorite season, but the book really wasn't what I was looking for. So there we are. But no, I would recommend it so far. I haven't gotten too far into it to be able to say if they like blow it or not, but the first 100 pages where they're setting things up, pretty good to me. I mean, it really feels like, it feels more like the Flash than some recent episodes have felt like the Flash. Let's put it that way. So, let's see here. What else have I been up to? Really, that's about it. I mean, I didn't get a chance, unfortunately, to go and see Logan. Have you gotten a chance?
No, not yet, yeah. But I might go. I'm off coming up this week, so that might be an option.
Yeah, I might have a chance to go tomorrow. So, unfortunately, we don't have any discussion on Logan, other than the fact that everyone I know, including one of our fellow Critical Myth contributors, has really enjoyed it. So, I hope to... I know that Bronstein liked it, too.
Yeah, so now I've heard nothing but good things about it. So, fingers crossed. I mean, the premise that they're drawing from was a really good storyline. So, obviously, they're using Logan. It's coming from the Old Man Logan comic book miniseries, or at least partially. And that was very well received. And so, yeah, thankfully, there's a lot of good material for them to pull for Logan, and they're choosing the right stuff, I think. So,
yeah, I think so. I think that they really picked the right way to go with this. All right, that's our intro for this particular weekend episode. So we're actually going to get into a couple other topics as we go down the list of things that happened in the last couple weeks. And one of the really interesting ones here, at least for me, is the idea of a Buffy reboot. Now, Gary, you said that you really haven't seen a lot of that show when we were talking before.
No, and it's not because I don't like it or was going out of my way to avoid it. I don't know what exactly it was, but I have seen a handful of episodes over the years. I know Giles and of course Buffy and Willow and some of the other people in there, Spike and Angel and stuff. So I mean, I have a working vocabulary of them, perhaps. But I never had a chance to watch them. I was lucky enough to get the first several seasons from a friend on DVD, but I have not yet had the opportunity to listen to them or watch them rather. So it's definitely something to look forward to. To catch up on all the seasons of it seems a bit of a daunting task at the moment. And I actually was a fan of the original movie, which I know the show does not really follow after. I'm sure I will get into it soon enough. Too many of my circle of friends go gaga over the movie. So I know them and they know me. And if I know enough about them, then I'm sure I'll probably like it too. So.
Yeah, what interests me is this whole idea of why are we thinking of rebooting this? I mean, it's one of those shows that I can't say it's perfect. I mean, certainly if you are a fan of Whedon's work and of Buffy the show, there's all kinds of opinions about certain seasons being better than others, about certain characters being weak, about, did it run too long, and so on and so forth. But on the whole, I think that there are a lot of people that would say, you know what? They're doing a perfectly good job keeping this going in a comic book form. I mean, there's a current season going right now. Why would we want to reboot something that is a cultural icon already?
Well, I mean, maybe they want to be in that universe, but they don't want to pick up at the end of it. And so, you know, maybe they do want to start new. 20 years is a pretty long gap, John, and there's a whole generation that never watched it new. So, you know, maybe they do want to revisit it, hopefully respectfully. Or, geez, look back at what they did with Battlestar Galactica and took it on a whole different route. Well, I wouldn't say that they were untrue to the source material. They definitely went different places with it. Maybe that might be the case, too.
Possibly, but I don't know. It's just I can definitely see the whole going back and watching the first season right now on DVD or even on Blu-ray if you can find it. I mean, it was not made for today's time, and I could definitely understand that it would be hard to convince some people to watch it. It's kind of the problem that we run into with hey, let's go watch Babylon 5, and it's like, what's the best quality version I've got? We can't watch it on a big screen because it kind of looks crappy. Here, watch it on your phone. There is a certain point where it's like there's the material is only looks so good, and maybe that's what they're thinking of. But
all the actors are older. It's not like it's easy to pick it up anymore.
Yeah, it streams, I believe, in some places, but. I don't know. I'm kind of against it only because it's still such a touchstone. If it wasn't for the fact that it was, if it had kind of been lingering in the background as kind of a relic or something that was a way out of everybody's social consciousness or pop culture consciousness, I could understand that. But I just don't feel the need because everybody knows it to some degree. It's I don't know.
But just as a side note, to, I guess, sort of wrap this up, Sarah Michelle Gellar did get on to various social medias to note the event and thanked all her, not only her fellow cast members, but the fans as well for making Buffy, the sort of, what'd you say, touchstone or icon that it's become. She mentions, how it was definitely a source of female empowerment, as well as trying to shake up genres to some extent. And she was just very grateful. So that was nice of her to do that.
Yeah, I think that it... I think that's another point, too, is that if it's already kind of done these things, could you imagine then going back in and trying to recreate that? It's almost like they did go in with certain goals in mind, but they weren't going in to try and make a point. They just let the point be made itself. And I could imagine somebody else going in now and remaking it and it being just, almost too intentional and kind of ruining the balance a little bit. But... like I said, I weigh in on let's not try this. Let's just let the original stand, even if it's hard to watch these days sometimes because of the quality of what's out there. But there was also an interesting article that I saw, and it seemed like they were talking about how they intend to how DC wants to deal with the whole. We didn't have establishing movies for our characters before we decided to do the Justice League type of question, right? And that's something that's been a criticism. And what they seem to be saying is, and I'm just kind of curious about your opinion on this, Gary, is that they're going to take the Justice League is going to come out, and then they're going to take movies like Aquaman and Cyborg and The Flash and so on, and they're going to add in both flashbacks and flash forwards to quote-unquote... deliver that backstory that they weren't able to put in or did not put in before.
Okay. Now I realize that you need a backstory for people like Jessica Jones or Daredevil for some people. But are you trying to tell me that the average American doesn't at least have a slight clue of an origin story for The Flash or for Aquaman? And I'm not saying they need to be able to quote off parents' names or anything, but they're familiar with the character. You don't have to introduce or explain this character to people to get them going. And, it seems like a lot of films, Marvel included, fall into this origin trap that we can't hit the ground running and pick up as we go, that we have to have everything spoon-fed to us before the first fight or event happens so that we're fully versed. And... you know, reality, that's not how life is. And I don't think you need to tell necessarily a good story. You know, I think of the James Bond openings, which are always full of action. You really don't know what's going on, but you'll catch up. And I wish they would take a little bit more of that sort of idea. You don't need to refeed an origin story for every single person, for every single character that gets introduced. I mean, what do you think? I mean, I think about the Fantastic Four movies. I think about the multiple Spider-Man movies. And then you see, and even with, Daredevil, they did it. And Captain America, they did it. Thor, they did it. Both Hulks, they did it. And it just seems can't the writers start off the series with anything better than that? At least for the characters that people are aware of. Maybe it's just me just picking on the format, but an origin story movie, it's just done to death.
Yeah, I don't think we need it either. That's what I read that and I just groaned because I said, you know what? If I can understand maybe doing a little bit of that, but Suicide Squad tried to do that and look at what a mess that was. They did all these flashbacks and it was like, oh my God, stop. just show us what they're, show us who they are based on their actions. And yeah, it just felt like, it didn't land because of that. I don't want that to happen again. And this is where I feel like they keep repeating mistakes. Batman versus Superman had a ton of flash forwards. I don't think they made a bit of sense.
I thought they were imaginary.
Exactly. And that's the problem is that, if they keep doing that kind of stuff again and again, it's just going to fall flat, I think. It's just, I wouldn't even bother with that. Tell a straightforward story. You know what? We don't need to see the origin if you already have seen the character using their abilities already in another movie. Just let it go. Let it happen. Just build off of what you already have. You don't need to retroactively do it because you acknowledge the fact that you have not done the work that you needed at the beginning, right? I mean, they did it backwards. Great. Okay. Acknowledge that. I think that actually going in right now and trying to do something about that with flashbacks and flash forwards is only going to highlight the fact that you didn't do a good job of planning everything. If you know what I mean?
Not only that, but with the flash forwards, you almost trap yourself too. So
yeah, why do that? Because again, what happened in Batman versus Superman, they were incomprehensible and now you've got to pay that off somehow. Maybe the way that they did it, you don't, because who knows if it was even real.
I was going to say, I like to chalk it up as imaginary because that whole Batman commando scene made no sense.
It made really no sense at all. It only made sense to people who knew the comics and were like, hey, look, that got on screen. Who cares?
I still hold Jimmy against them, but that's another story.
That's a completely another thing here. But
yeah, so no, I agree. I guess they need to shake it up a little bit. I mean, I felt like the sense that Avengers did that to some extent, and it looks like the new Thor is shaking things up a little bit too. So I hope they realize that they need to take out superhero movie plot A and toss it into the fire and let it burn and pull out the second folder.
Yeah, stop just redoing the same thing over and over again. And that's where they say, oh, we're going to apply this to the movies. It's like you're going to basically rehash the same things over and over again.
If I see another Batman origin, I'm getting more upset for Martha Wayne than I am for Batman. So, sorry, did Martha choke you up? I apologize. Anyway,
Martha?
But yes.
Brings the podcast to a halt as all of the listeners recognize that it's somehow their mother's name.
There you go. So, but anyway, so yeah, I don't want to belabor this too much because I know we have a lot to cover. But basically, I hope they shake up the standard movie, and I'd rather fill in the details than feed me an origin story movie, because that just bores the heck out of people. People want to see story. They want to see action. They don't need a long-winded detail of why that person is there at the moment. You can fill it in later, but they don't need it to start off with.
Yeah, they really don't. Let's see. The last thing that I kind of wanted to get your opinion on, Gary, was there's been a lot of casting news for Star Trek Discovery. In particular, yeah. The one that I liked was Jason Isaacs as the captain.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Well, I'm glad they're announcing news, and hey, hopefully we'll actually even get an episode at some point, since we're now in our third delay. So that's of a concern already. But yeah, Jason Isaacs is a heck of a guy. You're saying from, yeah, I guess from Harry Potter, but I'm thinking, what was the, did he play a British officer in a Mel Gibson movie?
Yes, The Patriot.
Yeah, he's been
in a ton of stuff lately too.
Yeah, that's where he sticks out in my mind from. But anyway, I think he'll make a very good captain. And heck, I wouldn't have even minded a series with him as the focus. However, I realize in this modern age, they are trying to give main acting jobs to necessarily people that are not male or white anymore. So I can appreciate the new aspect as well, although the thought of him as a captain in the focus would have been entertaining to me as well. So, they're filling out a whole bunch of people now. They've listed, so we have the captain, we have the first officer who will be the main character, we have another captain that they've already listed as ready already. They mentioned that the character Sarek, Spock's father, is coming on board, as well as a few other officers they've announced who are new to the universe and don't have any prior connections. And we're looking ahead to see what's going to happen. We've now been pushed back as far as, I believe we're at the fall of 17 now.
Yes, that seems to be the last thing I heard as well.
But we'll have to wait and see. It's still supposed to be 13 episodes. And they've sent us a few teasers of I'm assuming some part of the ship being built. They've shown us a captain's chair. We had a unsolicited release of what everyone is assuming are a new version of Klingons that's been met with scorn and almost hatred. and more importantly, if those are Klingons, it sort of symbolizes that they're really not trying to shoehorn this into the existing television franchise so much as it's almost going to be an alternate take where technology won't necessarily match up. Obviously, aliens might not match up. And we could be dealing with yet another spin-off of reality, much as most people agree the J.J. Abrams movies are not necessarily the prime timeline, but an alternate timeline. So this looks like it's going in that same sort of direction. This has been met with disdain by a lot of loyal fans who really want more of what they consider prime universe stories. They enjoyed the universe that had been created over 50 years and wanted to keep going around in it. And it appears that we're not necessarily getting that. So I always try to be optimistic, especially with Star Trek, but this show has had a lot of stumblings, from losing showrunners to multiple delays to slow casting news to being released in basically an untried format for the CBS network, and so it's got a lot of things dragging it down. So I hope it can pull itself up ahead. I heard you saying that you like Isaacs as well, but I mean, it seems like they're having a lot of problems with this production.
It really does. The casting is great. Everything else around it seems to be bothering me a lot. So yeah, I'm not so sure. It's interesting that you say that it sounds like they are, in fact, going with the Abrams-verse timeline, because they swore up and down that they were going to be in the original timeline. So, yeah,
you see things like the ship designs that they say are, that appear a little bit off from the pre-Enterprise timeline, as well as the Klingon release, which makes them look like neither version of the Klingons with which we're familiar. People sort of have questions about that. So we'll have to, you know, sort of wait and see. But Sarek's life has been sort of sketched out to some point in some of the various Vulcan novels. And this was never mentioned at all. So that's another issue of concern to imagine Sarek with Starfleet after all his boisterous complaints about the organization fundamentally seems a bit at odds with his character, although maybe perhaps he developed it later. You don't know. But it just there's a lot of things that seem to be non-original continuity. Now, whether it's J.J. Abrams verse kind of thing, or I believe, sorry, let me depersonalize that and say Kelvin timeline, as the people are saying, or whether it's going to be a unique timeline to itself. Only time will tell. But I mean, they do have a good chunk of time to explore with, and. Should I do it? No, I won't bring it in. Anyway, but suffice to say that obviously there's some updating that would need to happen, even if you did bring back a an in-universe new series. If nothing else, the static monitors on the bridge would probably be, you know, actually work and show something other than the same nebula for three seasons and things like that. So there would have to be some technological updates, I think, just to keep it believable for our current audience. But I don't know. I don't know if they're going to go that route, or from what I've heard rumors and leaks of is it's a lot more modern than it should be for that time frame. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I guess we will have to wait and see. Although, like you said, it seems like the more and more that we hear about it, it seems that this is just falling through their fingers.
Although, I forgot, there was one other tease was a section of the new uniform, and that looked kind of interesting. If I could describe it for you the best I could say, it's somewhat Enterprise-like going into sort of the cage a little bit. It's sort of in that range. So it looked very promising, and I wish I had a whole picture so I could play in cosplay. But anyway, so that's about it on that. But I'm just concerned that they're running across so many production issues, and then I hear such a backlash from fans about this whole, you know, the pay access to watch the series that I'm just worried about it.
It seems pretty understandable. So,
but yeah, you're right. Great casting news, though. They're casting so many strong people. When I hear complaints about that they weren't willing to drop any budget money on it, I'm sort of surprised at the talent level they're getting.
Well, yeah, you don't know what that entails. You know, it's like, where was that money not going if this is what they're paying for? Are they trying to make up for something in the production? Or in the story or whatever else, some of these other shortfalls with good casting?
Well, from what I've heard, there's just no money at all.
Well, there's that, but how then are they getting these people in there? I mean, Jason Isaacs does a lot of different productions, and maybe he just wants to be in Star Trek, but...
And, you know, with a 13-episode series that, you know, you sign people and you don't always sign them for the whole 13 episodes. So, you know, maybe he signed for 6.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe he died.
8. Yeah.
So.
That's one way to bring the first officer to prominence. Yes.
Yeah, that would. Yeah. Oh, the rumors were true.
Yes.
All right.
Well, she's not actually the captain. Yeah. Thanks.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Let's see here. We do have a few other items on our list that are of interest. Real quick, if you want to go over a couple that you had. That you were interested in. I know that I'm happy to hear that both Riverdale and the 100 have been renewed.
Yes, I'm enjoying Riverdale immensely, so much so I'm starting to feel guilty, and I really don't know if I want to admit it anymore. It feels like it's the same feeling I had when Melrose Place was on. I started watching it and then got hooked in and felt guilty the whole time. It just seems so soap opera-ish, but
it does, and yet. let's see here. What else is on the list here that you have interest?
Let's see. Sometimes I had considered her the kiss of death. However, it's been interesting to note that Amy Acker has been signed for a new Marvel for that Marvel drama series they're talking about.
Yes, talking about things that are things that are getting a lot of casting.
Yeah, because they also announced Stephen Moyers in it from True Blood, which caught my eye as well. And I'm not sure where they're necessarily going with this, but they've also announced Emma Dumont's coming on, and she's going to be playing Polaris, which is a very much a X-Men linked character with hints to connections to Magneto and some other things as well. And that would bring in her boyfriend slash husband slash, friend Havoc, which then ties even more into the X-Men. So when they were saying Marvel drama, I wasn't sure they were going to go towards X-Men. But with that casting tidbit, I would think they are.
Yeah, it's really hard to say what's going to be going on that show because they are really being cagey.
Yeah, they're really not, they're not giving much at all. Maybe a Summer's Love Triangle, I don't know.
We'll have to see. But so that's interesting. And now it is going through. It is going to be on Fox, which is interesting because now Fox will have a DC show and a Marvel show. And I believe they said that Bryan Singer was going to direct it. Was going to direct at least the first part of it, so the pilot. So that definitely would set a tone for it. And I think there's more than enough second and third tier X-Men to easily fill a series. So that should be good. I hope they can draw on unique characters that we may not be that familiar with, but that can be used effectively. As I think about Arrow 2.0 with some of the people that they've pulled out for the team that I never would have ever expected to see, I'd like to be equally surprised about this show.
Yeah. It could go either way, right? I mean, it could either be what I find is like, is it going to be a new Legion? Is it going to be a... is it going to be, Logan-esque? Is it going to be something where they're pushing the boundaries, or are they going to play it safe? Because Singer hasn't really been that involved, as far as I know, with those productions, right? I mean, maybe he is in some case, but it seems like the shows that are the things that are in the X-Men franchise that are doing really well. Yeah, it's not what he's working on, what Singer is working on. So that's where my head is going with that. I need to hear more. They're doing some good casting for that show, but it's like some of these characters, I've never heard anybody like that being on this show. They're calling it like Gifted, not X-Men. So what does that tell us? I don't know. But
I don't know. Is there a stigma against X-Men, or they want to surprise people? It's just like Legion. They they tout the link in the logo, and then they run away from it like mad in the story. So,
as far as we know,
yeah,
I don't know. Sometimes I'm not sure, but yeah, I think that's pretty good as far as let's see, what else do we have on the list here? Incorporated, unfortunately, was canceled by Sci-Fi. We talked about the DC films. We talked about that casting. So, yeah, there is a...
We almost forgot. We forgot one little bit of information that I'd like to share. And it wasn't a huge amount of information, but it did pop up in various medias, both due to the Disney connection as well as the Star Wars connection. Disney was having a some sort of meeting with either stockholders or management. I wasn't exactly sure. And they teased them with a few scenes from the new movie. They showed Luke pulling his old lightsaber over from Rey and igniting it. And that they were showing some different scenes as well from different planets. And I believe he even spoke a few words, although I can't remember what the words are right now. But it's looking good. And Mark Hamill mentioned something to the effect of that he is happy with the movie. So that's a good thing too. When he wasn't happy with the original Star Wars movies, he voiced his complaints often to media. So that's nice. But so we did get a tease of Episode 8. So that's interesting.
Yeah, it is actually pretty interesting. Some of the things that I saw listed in the article. So yeah. Okay, we're going to go ahead and wrap this particular episode up. When we come back next time, we are going to get into the first of 2 weeks' worth of episodic discussions. So, what shows wound up on the top and which ones wound up on the bottom? We'll find out next time. So, until then.
And so ends another epic episode of The Critical Myth. If you want to leave a comment for this show, head over to vognetwork.com. Not only can you find links to the podcast version of each show, but there is a dedicated forum, a ton of written reviews, and related articles by the crew throughout the site. For the written reviews, you can even leave your own review, so let us know if you agree or not. You can also leave comments on our Facebook page, Critical Myth, on Twitter at Critical Myth, or Google Plus, under The Critical Myth Show. Any and all use of copyrighted material is only intended for discussion, commentary, parody, or educational purposes, in accordance with U.S. Code Title 17, also known as fair use. In other words, please don't sue us. And of course, the statements and opinions of the Critical Myth crew are not necessarily those of the VOG network, its partners, or affiliates. But let's face it, we're probably right anyway. Until next time, watch, read, and listen, and believe in the critical myth.